We are going to look now at one of the most practical and important passages, I think, in the Scripture, directly looking at relationships, communication, and conversation. And this is a passage that you could go back to daily this week, and we really can't get enough of this passage. You could look at this passage every day for the rest of your lives. I think it'd be so beneficial. It's so practical. Here's the main idea. Your words are steering the direction of your relationships and moving towards or away from God. I want to say that again. Your words in every conversation are steering the direction of your relationships. Your words are so significant. And that can move towards God. It can move further away from God. Here's some framework when we think about our words. First of all, your mouth is like a steering wheel. That may not sound like a compliment, but it really is. It's smaller, but incredibly powerful. A lot of people underestimate their words. There's the power of life in your words. There's also the power of death in the words as well. Relationships are essential in life. The quality of life is directly linked to the quality of relationship. And every day we have so many conversations. We're making hundreds of decisions about our conversations, what to say and not say every single day. Now, God knows we need a coach when it comes to communication and conversations. Amen? Have you ever tried to say something but didn't say it right or said something and realized you didn't do that right? And it's just like, Lord, please help this mouth right here. And God knows we need help. And so the Holy Spirit is in us to help guide us in what to say. Also, God gives us a blueprint, His Word, when it comes to communication. We want to go to the truth source, His Word, and let Him guide us in how to speak. Today, we're going to think through four areas and really think through what needs to be deleted or subtracted in what we say. What do we need to stop saying? And what do we need to start saying a lot more of and intentionally add? And in this portion of Scripture, there's a pattern with each of these. First, the negative, what not to do, make it clear. And then the positive, this is what we want to add. And then the reason why. The why is always very important, and this is laid out. Let's take a look at Ephesians 4, starting in verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his or her neighbor, for we are all members of one body. You want to add truth to your conversations. When there's lacking truth, growth plateaus. When truth is missing, growth plateaus, because we need truth to grow. Also, we need truth to build trust. When things are false, trust declines. Trust can deteriorate in a relationship, and trust is the core of the relationship. Truth builds up trust, but when there's falsehood, trust dissipates. The negative here is the falsehood that we would speak. The positive is to add truth. And the why? Because we're one body. We're one family. I don't know how you see us, but it's clear God sees us, and it's a reality. We're one family, an eternal family in Jesus. We live in a culture right now where it's common to have a spin, to have a bias. We are always, hey, what's the fact check? What's the fact check when people are talking? And there's clickbait everywhere. There's headlines that are half-truths. And people want you to click. And so, you know, with that traffic and clicks, maybe that promotes advertising, but there'll be headlines and stories that bring half-truths, which are often the most destructive and the most confusing. When you get some truth and then some falsehood and you weave it together, that's dangerous. And even in the marketplace, people cut corners on truth, morality, if it means you can get the deal, make the extra dollar, get the promotion, and people sacrifice truth in terms of what they're saying. We need to realize a couple things, and here's some dangers. You know, the messages on the weekends, they're not just for Sundays, but my heart and biblically it's to equip so that what's said on Sundays, we would live out every day. It's really for every day. And I think it's important to get specific in this area when it comes to what are these falsehoods? Not anyone in this room wakes up in the morning and says, you know what, today's a great day to share a bunch of stuff that's not true. Let's just go spread a bunch of lies. This is going to be awesome, right? No one does that. So you read falsehoods and you're like, well, that's not me. Falsehoods are subtle. I want to highlight them and what we can do. First, there's misunderstandings between people. You have any this week? Misunderstandings are frequent. And it's important. Here's a phrase you can say, this is what I heard. If you sense there might be a misunderstanding coming, this is pretty important. Say, this is what I'm hearing or this is what I've heard. And that gives the other person an opportunity to clarify and then be on the same page. The second is assumptions. We make probably hundreds of assumptions every day. Assumptions are unspoken. And we quickly try to size up people, situations. We're judge and jury. We come to the conclusion, here's the problem. A lot of our assumptions are false. And if you operate in false assumptions, it damages relationship. So instead of all these hidden, unspoken assumptions, you need to actually speak up. We need to speak up and say, hey, could we talk about this? Could I share something with you? And then put it out there so a conversation can happen. The next one is rumors. Rumors fly. They fly fast and with momentum. We need to redirect the gossiper. Redirect the gossiper in a number of ways. First, when someone brings something that's not true, you can say, actually, and then share the truth. Or you can ask the person, have you talked to the person that you're talking about yet? And there's the redirect. They'll say, no, I haven't. That might be a good place to start. Or you can just simply say, I don't think this info has my name on it. I don't think this is for my ears. However you want to phrase it, but it's important to redirect the gossiper. And then lastly, what do you do when stuff just doesn't feel good, seem good, make sense? Here's a great question. You ask, can you help me understand? When you receive something, it could go one of two ways, and one way is not good, and you think it's that way. You just ask someone, could you help me understand? Because this isn't making sense. This doesn't seem good. This doesn't feel good. So you go directly to that person and say, could you help me understand? These are some practical pieces. Also, overall, we just want to look at Jesus' life. He's our cornerstone. He's our example. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels in the Bible, and look at Jesus and how well he brings truth. Jesus always speaks truth, and look how well he brings truth. He figures out the context, the timing, the tone, age appropriate. He knows the listeners, maturity levels, and he'll bring truth in love, but he brings truth. I don't see a lot of small talk in the Bible. I just don't see it. Our culture has so much small talk. Small talk's not a sin, but I often wonder, do we try to hide in small talk and things stay shallow because going really to the truth, the deep truth, doesn't always feel easy? And we need to develop deep truth. And it's so important because if we can't share truth with each other, or you might say, oh, I have such a good friendship, but we don't share much truth. You need trust to bring truth, but also a healthy friendship, truth is going to travel. It's going to travel well. You say, how healthy is a relationship where you can't really bring truth? How deep is a relationship where you can't give and receive truth? And truth is vital. Truth ultimately sets us free. And we look at Jesus' pattern, and how does Jesus speak? From the heart to the heart. Jesus speaks from the heart to the heart and often brings truth about the spiritual life. He has courage when he brings truth. Jesus says so many things that are countercultural. If you just want to fit in this culture these days, you will sacrifice truth. But Jesus, countercultural, heart to heart, Jesus talks about God and a relationship with God so frequently. I challenge the paradigm that says, oh, we're never going to talk about God or faith. Because when I look at Jesus' communication, it's all the time. Live, work, learn, or play around town. He's having spiritual conversations. It takes courage to have spiritual conversations, to ask questions. Not just to get up and preach, you don't have to do that, but to ask questions, share about God, share about your journey, share about what you're learning, share about what God's doing in your life. That's where Jesus goes. That's where he wants us to go in a very truthful and sincere way, authentic way. Look at this picture. It's a verbal picture of a woman, a godly woman in Proverbs chapter 31. Starting in verse 25, we read this description. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Do you have people like this in your life that you just enjoy spending time with? Because there is wisdom. They are dropping wisdom constantly. And you just want to listen to them because what you're gaining from them, it builds you up and it just moves you towards God. And that mouth is just like a fountain of goodness and you just want to be around that. Notice she can laugh at the days to come. What does that mean? That means not stressed out, worried, despair. That means there's a confidence in God that even though I don't know everything that's coming, I'm so confident in God that I could even, you know, not take myself too seriously. And trust the Lord. Here's the key. There's a deep trust that leads to a deep truth. People who bring deep truth have a deep trust in the Lord. Where trust is missing in the Lord, truth stops flowing. And here's the picture. Deep trust can laugh at the days to come. Faithful instruction flows out of her mouth. and people are listening to benefit from it. I want to give a visual picture. You probably noticed the tent over here. If you're new here today, it's not typical. Don't usually have this tent. And this tent, you think of summer and camping and families and fun. A little different visual over here. And it comes from verse 27 in our passage. And the Bible says, do not give the devil a foothold. Say, well, what does that mean? In our culture, a lot of times when we read about the devil, I think we just kind of skim over it. Like, oh yeah, whatever. I want to really make sure that we see the spiritual dynamic, spiritual battle that's happening, tying into our words and our relationships and communication. What is a foothold? You might think of a rock climber, and a foothold is a place you can put your foot, a secure place that's solid. But there's another meaning that's much more general, broad, and it relates to our lives every day. A foothold is a place, a secure place, and it's a place that once it's a home base, you keep going and you make further progress with. This represents a place over here, and that's going to be my visual foothold. A secure place, a home base, and from that, you build and you move out. So the devil wants to have a foothold, which is basically, devil, you're welcome here. You've got that place. That's your place. We're good. You stay there. Everything's fine. And you can see it's secure. There's some sand on it. We're going to come back to it a few times, but that's the foothold representation right there, the tent. And to combat that, we need to add truth. Here's the second thing with our communication. We need to add action. We need to have words and action. We need to have words and action that are consistent. When action is missing, unity weakens. Check out verse 28. We read, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. The negative is stealing. And just imagine, all right, even in a church setting, people are taken from one another, stealing. The positive here would be contributing. And why? Because we want to benefit others. We more than me. That's countercultural. We more than me. We can never sever our words from our actions. A lot of people think they can compartmentalize their words. But I'll tell you how relationships work. People listen to you and they watch you. And you can never sever the two. Kids pay especially close attention to the both of them, and are they consistent together? They're linked. Many people can talk well spiritually, have great information. They have the right answers. They have biblical knowledge. They have great doctrine. And they'll share that. But then you look at the life and you go, wait a second. Like, you've got the right answers, but that's not the right attitude and that's not the right action. And you try to sort through some of that dissonance. Jesus had no hollow promises, no empty promises. Jesus was consistent. He gave the word and then he lived it and he backed it up. And the picture was the same. What he said, what he did, he served. He got after. He just didn't talk about serving. You could see him washing feet. And there was that consistency. It's important, on a side note here with work, it's important our view of work, and this will be a whole other message, but work is good. Work is good. And many things come from work. In this community, people were tempted, I'm not going to work, I'll just take from everybody else. The Thessalonians had the same challenge. Theirs, theologically, was a little different. They thought, Jesus is coming back soon. Why lift a finger? We're going to be with the Lord. And Paul had to kind of bring them back in. And this is why work's good. Work is good because you use your gifts. You glorify the Lord through your work. If you have a full-time job, it's where you might be spending the most amount of your time. It's where you help people. It's where you serve people. It's where you get a paycheck and you provide for yourself and maybe others. With that paycheck, too, you can contribute. You can help others in need. You can build up God's kingdom. And we're going to be working in heaven. If your image is we only work 65 years down on earth and then we retire and then it's an eternal retirement, you got to come back to the Bible because we're going to be serving and doing all kinds of exciting stuff in heaven. And we should be so grateful in America that we have all the opportunities to work that we do. I lived in Zimbabwe and there were not opportunities. In America, we have so many opportunities. And by the way, there are seasons where we're unemployed and that's a time to rally around and encourage. That's not an easy time. We want to build up, look after people. It's not easy to search for a job and keep persevering and more applications and more interviews. And sometimes that's a long time. This passage is not talking about that. This passage is talking about people who are just saying, I'm not going to work. I'm just going to have everyone else serve me all the time. And that doesn't line up with words and actions in the scripture. And Paul shares this, but you might be wondering, what did Paul actually do? And we see how Paul lived. He went back to Ephesus for 3 years. It's in the book of Acts. And we get a glimpse of this in Acts chapter 20. And you can read that whole chapter this week. But I want to point out in verse 20, Paul says, "You know that I have not hesitated to preach." And that means also passing on. This could be one-on-one in front of groups. "I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house." What did Paul do in Ephesus? He showed up in that city, started sharing about God, relationship with God. He did it from house to house. He did it publicly. Everyone in that city, they know what Paul's all about. He's all about Jesus, and you can hear it in his words. And that's what the disciples did too. Kind of challenges our view of what we do in the city. You know, we share Jesus. But you say, okay, did Paul just talk all the time? No, we also read, this is how he lived. In verse 34, it says, "You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, 'It's more blessed to give than to receive.'" And so Paul says, we're all about hard work. And Paul was a tent maker. And he worked, but he also shared about Jesus. And he did that to just demonstrate a consistency with the message. Let's go back to the tent, because really, when we don't line up our words and our actions, now the devil had a place, and now we're going to open up the tent. And we're just going to say, all right, the Bible says the devil wants to roam around like a lion, seeking who he can, you know, just, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And when our words and actions don't line up, we just open this thing up and say, devil, yeah, you just start running around. And in Seattle, nationwide, we're the second most with people who are de-churched. And I just wonder how many people have left church family because what they heard and saw didn't line up. It was just not consistency in people's lives and what they saw and what they heard, how people acted and spoke. And I think we need a lot of healing in the sound. We need a lot of healing. And I think the way to heal is to bring a consistency between words and act. And I think that'll bring a lot of healing in the sound. So this is important. Let's move on to the third piece. And this is affirmation. Because when affirmation's lacking, then joy shrivels. Look at this verse in 29 about affirmation. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." It's important to note that communication is in person. It's also online. All these principles relate to social media, because that's where a lot of people communicate these days. And all these are both in person and online. Unwholesome was the word. Don't say anything that's unwholesome. That means corrupt and rotten. Corrupt and rotten talk. I want to show you a picture. Here's some nectarines. Anyone enjoy nectarines beside me? Yeah, good summer fruit. I had them all the time in California. I went to the store. Look at that. You got great packaging, nectarines. I enjoy nectarines. I'm all about that. Bought the box of nectarines and just getting excited to enjoy these. But getting a little closer to the nectarines, uh-oh, you notice that? You see that right there? It's like, that's not how I like my nectarines. And the way my mind works, I'm still going to shave off that top 10% and maybe I can eat the 90. And uh-oh, now opening it up, rotten, unwholesome, corrupt little nectarine. You got some nasty nectarine action going on in there, and there's been an invasion. Have you ever seen something from a distance and it just gives one impression? And then you get really up close and it's a whole different story. Some marriages look pristine from a distance. And then you get close to the communication up close. You're like, oh, there's something rotten going on here. And with this fruit, it's like, no, that's not the picture in nectarines. Verbally, we can bring corruption. We can bring rottenness verbally. And there's some things we can say that we need to stop saying. That could be a huge step today. You decide, I'm going to stop saying some things. I'm going to stop with the put downs. I'm going to stop with the burns. I'm going to stop with the slander. I'm going to stop with the gossip. Maybe it's, I'm just going to stop swearing so much. One of my kids, we have four kids, Lori and I, and one of our kids, notice this. Every year at school, there's more swearing. So when I was young and I went to school, like, you wouldn't hear any swearing. And now every year there's more and more. And you know what I'm noticing? It's like there's only a couple of us who don't swear anymore. And, you know, we're following Jesus. But, like, there's just, it's so pervasive. And then another child made this observation this week. You know, it was just kind of a cultural statement. And it was a question observation. Dad, I've noticed, and why is this, that guys swear so much more than ladies? That was the question. It's from a sincere heart. And the second question right after it, and Dad, why do ladies wear so much more inappropriate clothing than guys? Those were the two questions. You said, wow, yeah, that's deep. That's a whole nother sermon. We won't go there today. I'm just sharing. But just a sincere question. Why are guys swearing so much more than ladies? And Dad, why are ladies wearing so much more inappropriate clothing than guys? And just by observation, we need to stop saying some things, and then we need to add some other things. We need to add things that build people up. We need new habits in how we talk. And I think transformation comes when we get in God's Word and we wash in the Word. Proverbs is a book about how we talk to each other. It covers it over and over again. I encourage you to read through the book of Proverbs. Focus on that aspect of your life. Right now we're going to wash in the Word with a few different Proverbs and just soak these in. Proverbs 15:4. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Notice the contrast. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked just gushes evil. The next proverb, 17:28. Even fools are thought-wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. When you're not speaking, people just think you're so intelligent, wise, and discerning. And so you don't want to speak up and like shatter that, you know. You just, sometimes it's better to listen. Proverbs 21:23, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. In Proverbs 26:20, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. The quarrel will die down without the gossip. Why do we do all this? Because we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieve and leave. The Holy Spirit will not leave you. When you put your trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit will be in you your entire life. But you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You're not always filled with the Holy Spirit. You can cause pain to the Holy Spirit, sorrow to the Holy Spirit. You say, well, this sounds like a relationship. It absolutely is. You have a relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it took me about 10 years into my Christian walk where I just started to declare, I love the Holy Spirit. I truly do. I love to listen. I love to be led. I love to be filled. I love the Holy Spirit. And so we all want to grow in our relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I challenge you, as the Spirit is leading you, to bring one really strong affirmation every day. One. For some of you, that's going to be a huge stretch because you're like, whoa, it's hard to bring one a week. You're talking one a day? I am. For others, you should be at 4 or 5 a day with the role God has placed you in. It should be 4 or 5. I'm not talking about flattery. I'm talking about sincerely thanking someone, appreciating someone, recognizing their gifts and abilities, their service, building them up in an intentional way, a heartfelt way. Be intentional about that. Paul was complimentary with people who didn't know Jesus in Acts chapter 17 in Athens. You know what he did? He brought a compliment. He said, I can see you're very religious. I see you're very devoted to what you believe. And they worship this unknown God. He said, but now I've got some good news. I want to share with you about the known God. I want to share with you about Jesus. But he built relationship and rapport, compliment, and then he shared about Jesus. When we don't have affirmation, I'm going to go back over to the tent, and I've got some waters in here. When we don't bring affirmation, when affirmation dries up, it's like coming over here, and the devil's now been running around because the door's open. Devil's thirsty, and you just say, devil, I brought you some water to refresh you. And then I'm going to enjoy my own water. And the devil said, no, I want your water too. Devil always wants more, right? So, okay, I guess I won't have any water. You got my water too. And now the devil's refreshed going, why? Because affirmation has dried up. It's dangerous relationally when affirmation dries up. We want to build up, not take down. And that leads to the last one, which is lacking kindness. We want to add kindness. Without kindness, restoration runs away. I think the true test of our communication is conflict and conflict resolution. That is the true test. And take a look at verse 26. Verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ, God forgives you in Jesus Christ. This verse is often quoted but misunderstood. First of all, we all have angry feelings. That's not a sin, to have angry feelings. We don't need to celebrate angry feelings. We don't need to vilify angry feelings. We have angry feelings. We need God to lead and guide us through those. We need to have self-control and wisdom. There's righteous anger, which is very good. A lot of times, that'll be attached to your passion. You're going to see someone mistreat someone, and God's going to stir your heart in kind of a righteous anger, and you're going to take action. You're going to be part of the solution. Righteous anger is okay, but be very careful that the way you approach and you're against the sin doesn't become a sin. Righteous anger starting out for some people will then become a sin in how they handle it and move forward. There's a big difference. And put a time limit on your anger before the sun goes down. That's very specific. That's really important in marriage. It's really important that same day to forgive, to get right, to pray together, to be united together. Don't let the sun go down. Don't say, oh, 3 weeks ago, you know, for the last 3 years, I haven't said anything, but for the last 3 years, you're not serving anybody when you don't say anything. You step up, you get it right, you put it on the table. Before the sun goes down, you go to bed that night in peace, in restoration. Don't let it fester. So we live these out, and there's clarity. We get rid of a couple things. Here's a list. Bitterness, rage, that's outbursts. Anger, where you really dig your heels in. Brawling, which is shouting. Slander, when you undermine. Malice, ill will. Listen, you control your anger, or your anger controls you. Which one do you want? Which one are you going to do? You're going to let God take over this area of your life? Now, this covers aggressive and passive aggressive. Sometimes passive aggressive loves to point the finger at aggressive and say, look what's going on over there. This list is both aggressive and passive aggressive. And we either indulge and lash out in our anger, or we ignore it and try to stuff it and pretend like there's nothing going on. Both are trapped from the devil. I'm going to go back over to the tent one more time. And now I'm bringing snacks, because when you get into conflict resolution, now you're feeding the devil. This is pretty active. So we got some snacks here. Got these little goldfish. So I got some resentment crackers. Enjoy those. I've got some popcorn. I got some bitterness bites. You just take those. I've got Rice Krispie bars, a little box. We got Grudge bars right here. You just take those. Oh, s'mores. This is wonderful. I can't have a camp out with those s'mores. Slandering s'mores. You just put that there. And I'll tell you, it's got to come a point where you're like, I'm not giving. Listen, this tent doesn't belong by this cross. This devil, not in the church. This devil, not in our home. We're going to change the way we talk. You say, I'm going to take back my s'mores because they're not sinful. No, they're not. They're good. I'm going to take back that bitterness, those grudges, take back my waters. And you know what? Devil, you can't have it. And when you stop feeding the devil is going to shrink in your life. You got to realize, I'm the one feeding the devil, and I'm not doing it anymore. I want to live this out. And what do? Kindness. That word doesn't just mean once. It means repeated kindness. Well, I did it once 2 weeks ago. No, you repeat the kindness. You have compassion. That means you care for the person. Even if they wrong you, you pray for them. You pray for them. Why? Because if they're treating you that way, they're probably not doing that well. They're probably hurting. Something's wrong in their spirit. Something's wrong in their soul. So you pray for the one who harms you. And then you forgive. Without forgiveness, there's no restoration. Without repentance, there's no restoration. If God's brought to your attention some relationships during this time together, and you're thinking, I don't know, should I apologize? Should I not? You should. You should. Take initiative, humble yourself, and apologize. Jesus laid out the big picture. Matthew 15, 18. He says this, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. Here's the big picture. It's not just to change a couple words, because words come from the heart. The heart needs to change. How does the heart change? A relationship with Jesus. Abide and respond. This is about a relationship with God, walking close with Jesus. Jesus changes our hearts, and then out of that new heart comes new words. But just cleaning up a couple words, it's not going to bring lasting change. This is about the Lord. And this is about how Jesus treats you. That's the basis of your relationships. It's not what the other person does and how they treat you. It's how Jesus treats you with forgiveness and grace and patience. And we want to be good stewards. It's often said, steward your time, talent, and treasure, because we've all been given time, talent, and treasure. But I want to add a fourth: time, talent, treasure, and tongue. Steward your tongue well. It is one of the most powerful things that God has given all of us. Steward it well. As we start to prepare our hearts for communion, the worship team comes back and the servers come up. In the Bible, Jeremiah, God touched his mouth and filled it with words. Isaiah said, "Woe to us, we're people of unclean lips." God touched his mouth with the hot coal and said, "Go and tell." It was the mouth. We take communion with our mouths. I don't think it's coincidence. We need renewal, recommissioning in our mouths. God said in Psalm 81:10, "Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." That picture of wide. God, we're hungry for your words. We know there's great capacity with our mouths. And let's just pray together now. God, would you recommission our mouths with new words from a new heart, Jesus, in our relationship with you. We're tired of feeding the devil, God. We want your love and your truth to flow from our mouths. We're sorry about being ashamed, God, of you publicly. Forgive us for the way we treat the ones that we love the most. And God, change us today as we come close to communion now in this time of taking it together. We offer our hearts in worship to you and our mouths in worship to you. And God, do a great work in how we speak. We don't want to be the same. And we commit it to you in your name, Lord. Amen. We're going to serve the elements. Please wait till everyone's received. We're going to take it together. There's gluten-free in the middle. And just take this time. It's a new song. If you know it, you can sing along. But it's about our identity. Ephesians is about our identity. We're children of God, and we want our words to flow out of our identity. Let's worship the Lord together.